Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, also Bill Jack from Worldview Academy with me today. Bill, welcome.
Hey.
Bill, I've got a couple stories that hit the news this week. Simultaneously, all had to do with the sin of homosexuality. We come back to this largely because this is what defines us. You think about Sodom and Gomorrah. What defined them? Probably more than anything else. Well, they walked away with a namesake, didn't they? So it is true that this nation is increasingly defined by sexual autonomy.
Right.
And so what do I mean by sexual autonomy? I mean that man rebels against God. And oftentimes there's a certain approach, a certain arena in which he expresses that form of autonomy or that rebellion. And we certainly find that in the realm of sexuality. And that's happened since Obergefell. It's happened since really Roe v. Wade. That's happened since the sexual revolution of the 1960s and 1970s. And here, the first story, homosexual activists are claiming a major victory in Florida, quote unquote, over the Parental Rights and Education Act signed by Governor Ron DeSantis in 2022. The law prohibited classroom instruction on homosexuality and transgenderism with children 5 through 8 years of age. That is, this is the quote unquote, don't say gay bill. That was the pejorative used for this particular bill by the homosexual crowd. The settlement filed in the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals as of this week allows some form of this in literature and classroom discussion, teachers identifying same-sex or transgender spouses or partners. So in other words, some discussion is now allowed through the literature and through the teachers identifying same-sex relationships. The settlement also allows gay-straight alliances for 5 through 8-year-old children, homosexuality in the library books, and third-party lecturers to take up the subject. Now, think about how easy that is for them to work around the law. It seems to me the law has just died the death of 1,000 qualifications.
Yeah.
Now, what's happened here? Now, it turns out that 41% of Florida schools have gay-straight alliance clubs already. So one of the issues, if you've got pretty much a momentum that's been riding for 25 years in Florida. Florida was probably one of the more progressive states in America. That is the 10th most pro-homosexual state in America by this particular metric. So, in other words, it's pretty hard to stop that momentum. Have you ever tried to stop a Mack truck going 78 miles an hour?
Yeah.
By standing in front of it.
It's hard to reverse a trend.
Yeah, it is.
Especially when the trend.
I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah. Especially when the trend is toward evil.
It's super hard to put all the demons back into Pandora's box. And the only way that homosexuals can reproduce is how?
By recruitment.
By recruitment. They do it through the public schools. So this is a big deal for them, right? I mean, this shook America for what? A year or two. Especially Disney. Remember, Disney declared war on Ron DeSantis,
right,
the governor of Florida. So what you got here is a commitment on the part of the homosexual activists to be sure that they have almost total control of the schools in America. And that includes the schools in the state of Florida. So the idea that you can move to Florida and everything's going to be wonderful because the National Education Association is not there. And the progressive crowd that is committed to the gay-straight alliances in K-6 schools throughout Florida do not exist. No, they do exist, and they are powerful, and they have control of the schools in Florida, and there's nothing that Ron DeSantis can do about it. You think I'm overstating that case?
No, it's not just they have control of the schools, they have control of the culture. Because, as one famous saying goes, the philosophy in the classroom in one generation will become the philosophy of government in the next. What we pour into students' minds in the classroom will then pour out into culture in a very few years. And we see that. And we're seeing that to the max. And it doesn't matter that you think Florida is going to be a free state when you have the stranglehold on education that the state has.
The only way to harness this chaos, as I see it, is to destroy the empire and start over again. I mean,
yeah.
That's what's happened in the past. Brimstone and fire has proven in the past to be an effective means of restarting society. The other option is repentance and the gospel, but that's been rejected by the Western world. We're slipping into Gomorrah. That appears to be what's happening with the American society, especially when it comes to this particular sin. Be back with more in just a moment on Generations. We've seen it, folks. God is working in the hearts of dads and sons, and he's turning the hearts of fathers back to the sons, and the hearts of sons back to the fathers, and turning us all back to God. That's what we're looking for, and that's the theme of the Father-Son Retreat we've been sponsoring out here in the mountains of Colorado for the last 20 years, and I've been part of this for all this time. Now, God has done amazing things through the years. I've seen it. 350 dads and sons getting into God's Word together. Nothing like it. Camaraderie, brothers on brothers, it's a band of brothers coming together, powerful talks, prayer, father-son walks and talks, meaningful engagement. It's almost going without saying that dads and sons don't get enough time together. And hey, we don't get enough time out in God's nature playing games and going for hikes in God's fresh air. And we don't get quite enough time in God's Word either. So don't miss this year's Father-Son Retreats this August in the Colorado Rockies up in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Check it out at coloradofatherson.com and register today and be one of the first 125 people to sign up and save $100 per father and son. Secure your spot with the biggest discount available right now at coloradofatherson.com. Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson with you as Will Bill Jack. And I told you I've got three stories that seem to be interrelated. Just released on The Worldview in 5 minutes, theworldview.com, our daily news update from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. And here's the story. Almost one-third of Gen Zers, 18 to 26-year-old women, identify with some form of sexual perversion. According to a recent Gallup survey, 10% of men call themselves LGBTQ as compared with, get this, 28% of young women. Can you believe that? 28% versus 10%. That's 2.5 times on the percentage. That's a significant difference. And by the way, that's up just from, 2 to 3% among the baby boom generation, 4 to 5% among the Gen X generation. And here we are, 10 to 28% with the Gen Zers. Significant increase in just two generations, my friends.
That just blows the myth about, I was born this way. I can't help it. I was born this way.
Yeah, it's educational. It ties into the culture. Yeah. It's the zeitgeist blowing like a bandit.
It's a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm. So, friends, that's what's going on right now. The state with the highest population of people professing to be homosexual, New Mexico, followed by Oregon and Nevada. They're largely Western states. The most evil states in America by about 7 metrics, according to our evil index published last year. Are Oregon, New Mexico, and Colorado. So again, no surprise there that New Mexico, Oregon, Nevada are the worst states in America when it comes to this particular issue. This ties into the breakdown of fatherhood, Bill. It ties into the rise of pornography, the rise of self-centeredness for men, and a failure to emotionally connect. Men turn autistic eventually as men abandon relationships. So we see a rise of autism with little boys, and we find an emotional distance between young girls and their fathers. So you see both sorts of things happening. Boys, as they lose relationship with their fathers over generations, we begin to see an increase in autism. Now, I'm not saying it's a one-for-one, but I'm saying that generally speaking, as you derelationalize a society, you're going to see an increase in autism, relational diseases, social diseases, so to speak. Well, something similar, I believe, is happening with these young women. The general lack of emotional intimacy, real love from husbands and fathers. Women go elsewhere for that emotional intimacy, and that's where lesbianism gets its start. Now, this actually began in the 19th century, Bill, with the Boston marriages. You think about Unitarians and the absolute devastation brought upon relationship by Unitarian theology in the early part of the 1800s that brought about a coldness in American society. It just a cold relational atmosphere developed in the early part of the 1800s, and you begin to get more of the Boston marriages. Now, what are the Boston marriages? They're pseudo-lesbian-like marriages. Okay, the most famous is Catherine Coleman and Catherine Lee Bates got involved in a Boston marriage for a period of 25 years. Catherine Lee Bates is best known for the author of America the Beautiful. So she was hooked up with this other woman for a period of 25 years, and you get, you know, a fair amount of that emotionally intimate language that comes in their communications. Same thing for Eleanor Roosevelt, very famous for her lesbian type relationship. But again, more of a Boston marriage. Nobody really knows the physical element, but the emotional element was there for sure. In the 19th century and the early 20th century, when it came to their communications. Now, you read this deeply emotional language and you discover that with these women, Bill, the emotional intimacy was essential for them. And it was somewhat preferred over the sexual intimacy. And this seems to be the way that this goes. This comes out of the coldness, the sterility, the emotional distance, the dying of natural love among fathers and husbands, certainly beginning in the 1800s, but then it got worse in the 1960s, especially with the rise of the porn generation. Can you think of anything more horrible than the pornography generation that took the fathers in the 1970s, 1980s, and eventually affected the sons, and then that just becomes a generational spiral from there on out? And then what do the women do with that? Well, I think you get a rise of this kind of, you know, sexual perversion. That's what results from this destruction of relationship that occurs in family life through the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s, into the 1990s. Now, the other major explanations to this come from Ephesians 4 and verse 18. Listen to this. Having their understanding darkened, speaking of the Gentiles, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And here it is, verse 19. This is the key passage. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, that's almost exactly the problem with pornography. It's almost exactly the problem with a burned out sexualized society that is past feeling. So there's no more an emotional intimacy. There's no love here. It's just animalistic lust that results out of all of this. So that's the Gentile world as explained by Ephesians 4 verse 18. And then, of course, Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them, but they have suppressed that truth in unrighteousness. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And that's really key to what happens. But became futile in their thoughts, their foolish hearts darkened. They had this lack of gratitude. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness and the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And God gave up them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the women, doing the same things. Okay, so that's the explanation given to us by God's word. And Bill, I think we're seeing that happen in our society. And according to the Gallup organization, they say each generation has been twice as bad as the previous generation in terms of the increased identification with some forms of sexual perversion. So we're seeing this effectively working out in an exponential way. This is not going to end well.
No.
This is just not going to end well, Bill.
How did it end for Solomon?
Well, yeah.
I mean, here we hold him up as the wisest man in history who asked for wisdom, and yet the last 15 verses of his life did not show that he ended well. And it was because of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. And he had, what, 1,000 concubines?
Well, so much of the prosperity yields perversion. You think about that. Same thing happened to Persia. Same thing happened to Greece. You look at the major civilizations before Christ. I've just been working on preparing the world for Jesus, a second release. And Bill, inevitably, I mean, at the very end of Persia, it's a homosexual, bogoas, that creates the disturbance that destroys the empire. It's homosexuality. And the final, I think Darius the Third or Darius the Fourth drags his 347 concubines to war with him. Everybody gets slaughtered. It's a disaster. That's pretty much the way that empires end. And that's precisely what's happening here, except it's not just the kings, the pharaohs, the emperors. Now you're looking at the rank and file that have given way to this. Well, the third story, as I mentioned, recent PRRI surveys found that the Republicans are becoming increasingly disenfranchised with the homosexual agenda. Proportion of Republicans that would bring punitive measures on Christian-owned businesses that refuse service for homosexuals on religious grounds dropped from 41% to 34% since 2021, just in the last 2 years. Overall, 60% of Americans still want to bring punitive measures on Christian businesses that hold to their values. But whatever the case, what we're seeing, I think, is something of a reaction to what is happening in the mass culture. I'm not sure you're going to solve this thing politically, Bill. And that is really, I think, the point I want to draw. Though we believe that government can perhaps stop encouraging this sin, which is what it's been doing for the last, 8 years since Obergefell, or go back to Lawrence v. Texas in the late 1990s. So, Bill, over the last 20, 25 years, what have you seen? But that the government has encouraged. Now, a good goal would be to get the government to stop encouraging this form of evil. Okay, that'd be a really good first goal. But short of a national repentance, I just don't see this really happening. Now, one more story, and we're done with this edition of the program. The effects of two things are working simultaneously post Roe v. Wade. First is the reversal of Roe v. Wade, but we also have the rise of the abortion pill, not to mention the day after pill and the IUD. But what we're seeing is an increase in abortion in the United States. This is the brand new report, just came out this morning. Abortions in the U.S. peaked at over 1 million in 2023, marking the highest levels seen in a decade, as activists have pushed to make accessing abortion, the abortion pill, easier. That, according to a Tuesday report by the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute, the number of abortions has increased by 10% since 2020, or 15.7 abortions per 1,000 women of reproductive age, according to the report. The U.S. saw a staggering 1,026,690 abortions in the first full calendar year since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, with a significant portion of the numbers due to, get this, easing access to the chemical abortion pill, which is currently the subject of a case sitting at the Supreme Court. The researchers for this report attributed much of the increase to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's decision in 2021 to lift the in-person requirement to obtain chemical abortion pills. That is, they can do it by telehealth. Telehealth is the big thing for them. Pro-life advocates and medical professionals sued the FDA in 2022, arguing the agency cut corners to approve the release of the mifepristone. Over a dozen states have enacted some form of abortion ban. As a result, states without strict abortion restrictions have experienced an average of 25% increase in the number of abortions since 2020, according to the report. Certain states that directly bordered states with stricter abortion laws saw an even larger increase, such as Illinois, had an increase of 72%. New Mexico had a staggering increase of 257%. Virginia had an increase of 76%. And North Carolina had an increase of 41%. 13 states now have an abortion ban. Three more states have experienced a decrease, but 21 states register significant increases in just the last year, which all goes to show, friends, that just the U.S. Supreme Court reversing Roe v. Wade doesn't necessarily solve the problem. In fact, it only increased the problem in America in the last year or two.
Yeah,
unless we have a change of heart, Bill, it ain't happening.
Well, that and the Supreme Court has the authority and should take the authority to address this nationwide.
But they won't.
Yes.
But, you know they won't.
But look at what happened prior to the Civil War. You had free states and you had slave states. You cannot exist as a United States with that kind of a division.
Mm-hmm.
Lincoln pointed that out in his Gettysburg Address.
And the Dred Scott decision.
And the Dred Scott
went
decision.
Went no way. Nowhere
you,
on this.
You cannot exist. We cannot exist as a nation
mm-hmm.
with pro-abort states like Colorado. I think abortions are up, 24%?
Something
here?
Like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can't have free states where life is valued and exist as a United States of America. You cannot exist as a united people. We have to decide. And one of the starts of that would be for the Supreme Court to rule, we value life.
Mm-hmm.
And then let the fight begin. You cannot kick it back to the individual states.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for the Supreme Court to take a stand, as they did, what was it, 1896, when they ruled that polygamy was wrong. And why did they rule it was wrong?
Because it was wrong.
Because it's wrong.
That's one reason.
Okay. Yeah, they said it's because we are a Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's when the Mormons decided to get a new revelation and say, oh, we can't have polygamous marriages, right?
Yep. All right, friends. Well, mail order abortion pills now available through telehealth in all 50 states. I don't think people understand this, Bill, but there are certain states like Colorado that will disallow any prosecution of any of their healthcare, quote unquote, providers that offer the telehealth pill. So they're protecting them. They call these sanctuary states.
Yep.
All right. So now be aware, friends. Now be aware. Telehealth is all over the place. Medication abortions, now 63% of all abortion. In other words, Bill, it's not a surgical thing anymore.
Right.
That's only 37% of abortions. 63% of abortions are medical abortions, medication abortions. 16% of all abortions are telehealth abortions. 16% is super high. And my guess is we're not really making, you know, very solid records on how many telehealth abortions are happening. Now, be aware, Aid Access, one of three main organizations providing telehealth abortions, serves about 7,000 patients a month, about 90% of which are in states with abortion bans or severe restrictions. Okay, let me say that one more time. And you can find this at motherjones.com. Okay, this is a recent article. So just in case you're thinking, oh, we've reversed Roe v. Wade. Everything's wonderful now. No, it isn't. They're getting it through the mail order abortion. Listen to this one again, one more time. Aid Access, one of three main organizations providing telehealth abortions, serves about 7,000 patients a month, about 90% of whom are in states with abortion bans or severe restrictions, which means what? Which means that those folks that are saying, hey, we got 13 states that banned abortions. Wow, we're doing a great job. Pat ourselves on the back. I don't think so. It's not happening, friends. Why? Because of the ease of access to chemical abortions, because of the technology improved through the IUD, because of the technology improved through the day after pill, because of the technology improved through the telehealth abortions. Let's not kid ourselves here. These demons are out of Pandora's box. It's pretty hard to stuff them back in. And the hearts of the people are not ready to stop killing kids. Ergo, the five or six various referendums that went the direction of pro-abortion, Kansas, Kentucky, Montana, some of the best states in America we thought would go the right direction went the wrong direction on this. And I think Texas would go the wrong direction, too, if they ever put a referendum together. Why? Because the hearts of the people are just rotten to the core. And Americans need to be called to repentance by pastors all over this country. And I think if we get repentance in the churches and the pastors in our churches calling for repentance, perhaps, just perhaps, we might see something of a shift in direction. Well, friends, Roe v. Wade was reversed, but the hearts of the people have yet to be reversed.
Exactly.
And that's where we are right now. So let's just pray for God to bring his mercy down upon this nation, not his judgment, but his mercy. Let's pray for mercy and let's call out for the repentance of the nation right in the grassroots, right where we are. Let's call for repentance in our local churches. Let's start right there. And let's start with the pastors, the spiritual leaders of this country. Let's call for repentance and a turning to Jesus in true faith, and a turning away from these terrible crimes that are destroying the lives of millions of children. In fact, it's not just a million a year. It's closer to 13 million a year if you include the IUD abortions and, of course, all the other abortifacients used. The thing's just a mess right now. But let's start with the house of God. Let's realize that judgment begins in the household of God, but so does repentance. So I believe that if we see repentance right there with the Southern Baptist denomination, if we saw a little bit of repentance with the Presbyterian Church of America, the PCA, where they stood up and said, no more abortifacients, no more IUD. We're not going to be risking the lives of our children in this denomination anymore. If we would just see the major denomination, I'm talking about the conservative denominations in America, take a stand, then we might be able to reverse the direction of the nation. But not until the Presbyterian Church of America and the Southern Baptist Convention take the right direction on this. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I encourage you to Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West, to better understand the rise and fall of our civilization. We've been talking about it on this edition of the program, but I chronicle it very carefully. In the new book, Epoch, the Rise and Fall of the West, third edition is just out with the foreword from Dr. John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, from Grace Community Church. That wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.